To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel Jesus, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to a bonus edition of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast, because shortly after we finished recording the last one, in fact, 5 or so minutes after, some breaking news surfaced. The breaking news is that Arsenal have offered Jorginho a new contract and the midfielder is expected to sign on and stay. His existing contract runs up until June with the option for another year, but there's a fresh deal that's been put on the table for Jorginho to reward his importance to this squad, to this team. Also, some information about a trip that Edu and his assistant went on to Saudi Arabia. We'll get you the latest on that as well. And we'll discuss whether or not Arsenal have done the right thing offering Jorginho at 32 years old this new contract, given they already had an extra year option anyway. Did they need to do this? Is this the right decision? I'm quite positive about it, but we'll get into all the ins and outs of it on this edition of the Chronicles of Aguna. Let's say a few hellos before we dive into the chat. Rustam says, Jorginho, the super playmaker. Afsar says, Harry is on fire today and back again. Yes, back for the second time today. Christoph asks if we're aware of the terms of the contract. We don't have that information. Robert says, if we offer Jorginho a new contract, then I'd imagine Thomas Partey will go in the summer. So according to David Ornstein, let's start from the very beginning again. Let's break it all down. Let's do it bit by bit. Arsenal have offered Jorginho a new contract. Now, Arsenal, when they signed Jorginho for around about 12 million, which actually was a steal when you think about what the likes of Chelsea have paid for midfielders who simply haven't performed. Jorginho, for 12 million quid, given what he's given us, I would say for large periods of this season, look, I think going into the campaign, it was never the plan for Jorginho to play that much. But because we were without Thomas Partey and because we got to a point where the whole, you know, Rice as a six and Havertz and Odegaard as the 2-8s thing wasn't really working in the way that we'd want it to. And, you know, maybe it hit a bit of a brick wall. It was okay for a period of time, but it was never a perfectly balanced midfield. Mikel Arteta then pivoted to Jorginho, brought Jorginho in for specific games. Jorginho did a really good job in that period of time of kind of nailing down his place and making it clear to Mikel Arteta that with him being in the team, despite his limitations, and look, we all know what they are. We all know that Jorginho isn't the quickest across the ground. We all know that Jorginho isn't the most physically imposing. But to have Jorginho in there, it did improve the balance in that midfield. And then we were allowed to push Kai Havertz on into a more advanced position, and we've subsequently got the best out of him as well. So Jorginho coming into the team has been a really positive thing for Arsenal this season. And to have players of his experience, of his know-how in the kind of setup, I think is really positive and something that you want. I think back to that Bayern Munich away game, right, where we didn't really get going. We never came out of our shells. We were struggling, I think, probably physically, but also mentally with the task at hand at that point. You know, it's not a competition we've been in for a long time. For a lot of these players, I thought it was quite obvious that they hadn't played in the competition. And that goes back to even the first leg where, you know, we were in a good position and we ended up fluffing our lines. Or you go back to the Porto tie where we lost away from home. We got a narrow win at home. It went all the way to penalty kicks. At no point in the Champions League, the point I'm trying to make here is we didn't show our best, not in the knockout stages. It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that when we played Bayern away, Jorginho was probably Arsenal's best player because he'd been there, done it. He had the T-shirt. He knows what those occasions demand, that calm is really important in those situations, that stability is really, really important. And I thought He did a really good job that night. And he's done a good job throughout the course of the season. I can think of one or two moments this season where he struggled. Obviously, he made that mistake in the home North London derby, which didn't go down well. But post that, I think he's been really, really good. People are going to point to his age. People are going to point to the fact that he already had, or we already had as a football club, the option to extend his current deal by a year. So what was the need to go and do this again? But I think sometimes, guys, you have to, sometimes you have to offer players something before they get to the point where they've had their heads turned. And obviously, Mikel Arteta and the staff at Arsenal feel like Jorginho brings something worthwhile to the group. Now, we know in the past that Mikel Arteta has kept players around for longer than he probably should have because of their personalities and because of what they brought to the camp on a personal level. Rob Holding is an example of that. Rob Holding said it himself. Mikel Arteta had him as the kind of go-to guy. Bring a young kid up into the first team. Rob Holding's your go-to guy. Now, he was never good enough to play for the team. And I actually don't think that's the same with Jorginho, because I think Jorginho is good enough to play in certain games and play under certain circumstances. I don't think he's as good as Thomas Partey. I don't think anyone ever thought he was or would claim that he is. But he is a useful squad player to have around the place. Extending his contract will cost a fraction of what going out and signing another backup midfielder would cost, because there's no transfer fee involved. And even if the terms are slightly improved on the ones that he had previously, I think I'm okay with this. I think Arsenal are going to go out in the summer and bring in another midfield player. I think that's got to be right near the top of the priority list, if not the number one. I think that Mohamed Elneny is going to go. I think that Albert Sambi-Lokonga is probably going to go. I think that there's a good chance that Thomas Partey goes as well. And if Thomas Partey goes, and you're going to go big on a midfielder, great. But you need someone to step in as well. You need the backup. You need the cover. And someone who is that experienced, who is clearly super popular behind the scenes and has a lot to offer in terms of wisdom, I think this makes a lot of sense. At no point would this Jorginho deal, the initial deal that we've done, you know, the fact that we've now we're going to extend this contract, at no point have I ever looked at it and thought we've overpaid here for Jorginho and what he offers. Think back to, for example, when we signed Willian, right? We got him on a free transfer, but we paid an absolute fortune to Willian in terms of wages and salary. Now, Willian was good enough to, when he realized it wasn't working out, kind of just say, look, let's just part ways and we'll move on. But this, the Jorginho scenario, £12 million, and we didn't even pay all of that up front, and a sort of very reasonable contract. Now, if we push it up a little bit, even still, given his value to the team this season, I still don't think that we've gone over the line with regards to what Jorginho is worth this day and age. So I'm fine with this. I'm absolutely fine with this. Is it the kind of thing that makes me jump up and down and sort of, you know, shout from the rooftops? No, because I think in the long term and in this, maybe even in the medium term, we need to go out and we need to bring in a better suited midfielder, someone who does have those physical attributes as well as the technical level. But I think having a good squad is about having balance. And I think having some experience in and among the ranks is going to be helpful for these young players as they go on to experience big moments and big things for the very first time in their careers. So I'm happy with this. I'm fine with it. As long as we go out and do the business that we need to do in the midfield. Look, I've been saying for the last couple of days, maybe slightly longer than that, that if Thomas Partey continues performing the way he is, that it's probably worthwhile keeping a hold of him next season, given that I don't think he fetches any sort of transfer fee, really, because he'd be going into the last year of his contract. Nobody's spending all that much money at the moment. And I would rather have him and take that gamble for one more season. I'd bring someone else in as well to make sure that we're not screwed when he picks up a problem. But I would probably keep him rather than taking a 7, 8, 10 million pound deal. And that brings me on nicely to the other bit of news that David Ornstein broke, which was that Edu and his assistant made a trip to Saudi Arabia. He does clearly state, David Ornstein, that no players or deals were discussed, that it was kind of like a meet and greet trip where Arsenal felt that it was good to do some kind of reach out and meet the people sort of heading up the Saudi Pro League, given the sort of status it's risen to in recent times and the finance there and all the rest of it. I mean, if you go and open a relationship that potentially leads to us selling one of these players that's coming towards the end of their career at some point for more than we'd get on the European market, then that was a worthwhile trip. This is how it goes. You have to schmooze people in business. That's how it works. And Edu seems to have been very, very good at that since taking on this job and taking on this role. So I'm going to dive over to the chat in a second and get all of your thoughts and all of your comments. First, I'm going to give you guys a quick announcement about the podcast. Then I'm going to go over to the comments. So start getting your thoughts in. I'll respond to them. We'll discuss it. But my overriding feeling at this moment in time, having recently read the news, is that this is a decent enough piece of business. It doesn't feel like it's a piece of business that is going to handicap us going into the summer window, because we're not going to allocate a significant portion of our wage budget to Jorginho, not to the point where we wouldn't be able to get a target that we want as a result of keeping him. With Thomas Partey's future up in the air, with Mohamed Elneny leaving, Sambi Lokonga probably leaving, I think actually doing a deal like this, just to make sure that it's not a couple of players that we have to replace and instead we can maybe go bigger on the one, I think is actually smart and quite clever. Okay, I'm going to take your thoughts in a minute, but first a quick announcement. Guys, I'm really sorry to say that this is my last ever episode of the Chronicles of Aguna. My five-year-old was in the room earlier when we were doing the show. He wanted to watch, he said. I said to him, why don't you watch it on YouTube on the TV instead? But he wanted to be in the room. And when we finished, he told me that I wasn't very good. And he decided he wanted to do a little bit of a screen test. So I want to share this with you. This is my five-year-old who is currently embarking on a hostile takeover of the Chronicles of Aguna. 5 years old.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna. Like and subscribe.
He is desperate to get in front of the camera. Bloody hell. sorry. I had to share that. I wanted to share that. I might make that one of the sort of pauses in the middle of the show now. Instead of me saying it all the time, it sounds a lot better from him. I think people are probably more likely to press the like and subscribe buttons if he's the one asking rather than listening to me. Sasky Guna says, quality future. Martin says, he's got your number, Harry. He really, really has. New outro says Sugar, and quality says Salahadin. Yomi just logged into the stream and said, I just came on and I was like, what? Why has Harry turned into a kid? Dan says he's coming for your job. Yep, it feels like that. Hacker says you can be like Neymar's dad and get a slice. Marty says cute kid Harry. Awesome, says Paul. Dave says just press the like button 50 times. There you go. Sasky Guna says maybe you should do it with your voice dubbed over the good looking lad as the face of the show. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Okay. Right, let's go over to the comments and see what you guys are saying regarding the Jorginho news. Jorginho is going to sign a new contract with the Arsenal, according to David Ornstein. Afsar says, to be honest, I'm not happy about Jorginho staying. He's okay, but we needed an upgrade. Paul Nell says, Jorginho is Arteta Jr. Good to have him around. There's a really good point in there, right? Because I do think it's important that you have players in your ranks that have the intelligence and the understanding of the game. Everyone at professional level has an understanding of the game. What I should be saying is has a strong understanding of the game and a similar one maybe to your own as a coach. And I do honestly believe, I beg your pardon, that Jorginho is going to go on and become a coach. And I think he'd probably be quite tempted to stay at Arsenal because of maybe the pathway that's there. you know, continue working under Mikel Arteta, helping him out on the footballing side, but also use him to learn from as a coach. I know he's not the most experienced in the world, but he's clearly, you know, got a lot of good ideas in terms of the theory side of things. I think Mikel Arteta is right up there. And that's wild to say when he's such a young, relatively inexperienced coach. But I think Jorginho maybe sees a pathway at Arsenal post the career. I did wonder if an Italian side would come in maybe with an offer this summer that would tempt him. Maybe Arsenal are anticipating that as well. And maybe that's why they've moved to do this rather than waiting till the summer and going, here you go, let's trigger that year's extension. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the relationship between Jorginho and Arteta could be key here. What else have we got? Martin says, I'm happy with this. It makes sense providing Elneny goes. Adam Welch is convinced that this means Thomas Partey is leaving. Wandering Minstrel says, great stuff. Jorginho has been stable in the midfield. Pazic the Cat agrees, RE, the coaching angle. Ekal Howard says he doesn't deserve it. He'll be 34 next season and already his legs are gone and he's bullied in the midfield. He won't play regularly and will be another waste of money. I think Jorginho's proven that his legs haven't gone this season, to be honest with you. And the guy's 32, for Christ's sakes. He's not 42. Like, 32 is not dead and buried in football, you know. And nobody is saying that we're going to have Jorginho playing week in, week out. Nobody's suggesting that Jorginho is going to be a pivotal part of our midfield setup going forward. We're talking about having Jorginho as a rotational player that comes in and out of the team, maybe comes on in certain moments of games to help you stabilize, etc., etc. This is not the kind of signing that you're building around. This is an addition to what the master plan is, I would say. That's all Jorginho was ever brought in to be. And circumstances had it this season that his role has become a bit more prominent than it probably was going to be in Mikel Arteta's mind going into the campaign. But he's done a fine job. Odradek says maybe Partey and Jorginho will stay. Elneny to go. Where is Elneny, by the way? He's probably just not in the squad because Mikel Arteta knows he's going. I do feel like Arsenal only ever gave him the contract because he'd done his ACL injury and they didn't want to leave him out on his backside, essentially, you know, sort of struggling to recover from an ACL. And I think that's the right thing to do as a football club. It was on reduced terms, et cetera, from what I understand. And that makes sense. Robert says, Jorginho will be the experience during the League Cup games with Wanneri when he steps up. Yeah, I mean, imagine someone like Ethan Wanneri, right, breaking into the group. To have someone like Jorginho around you, you're only going to benefit from that. You're only going to benefit from that. What else have we got? Christoph says, other clubs will do their due diligence on Thomas. If he's truly fit and can draw 20 to 25 million, the question would have to include, can we replace his quality for that price? Well, this is the thing. Thomas Partey, fit, is worth more than 20 to 25 million, in my opinion, because he's a fantastic midfielder. But the chances of him staying fit are very low. And that's the reality. And he is someone who's in that kind of territory right now whereby you can get a lot out of him, but you have to manage him very, very carefully. Very carefully. It might be a case of, I'm not saying you don't start him. Maybe you start him every week, but you do it with a view to him playing 70 minutes. And you hope that you're in a position as a team after 70 minutes to be able to withdraw him. And if you bring in a Jorginho or maybe somebody else that we go and bring in the summer, actually filling that hole for 20 minutes is manageable. But over the course of the season, if you save 20 minutes every week, Thomas Partey's played significantly less, which could help him and his body in terms of, you know, trying to avoid those injury problems. Just the J says Partey should probably leave so the club can remove his wages to bring in a big midfield signing. That's another good point. The wages, the salary. Arsenal don't think that Thomas Partey is less a player than Jorginho, but perhaps moving Thomas Partey on moves the needle enough in terms of the wage bill to be able to bring in the player that you really, really want. Whereas with Jorginho, getting him off the wage bill doesn't. and actually having him on the wage bill doesn't either. So you might as well keep him, give him a slightly improved contract and have him become part of your sort of backup group, etc., etc. Lots of comments coming about the little one. Abby says, I see a hostile takeover coming in. Me too. At least I know the podcast is in good hands when I retire. Fizzy says, I can be his agent. Nope, I beat you to that, mate. No chance. Robert says, Harry and him in a remake of Big. Ty Gunnosaurus, brilliant. What a young, wonderful young man with lots of confidence. Mate, confidence is yeah, he's not shy of confidence at all. At all. What else have we got? Just having a look through some of your comments in the chat. Arturo El Congo says, Jorginho is a bad illusion. Why can't we use Emile Smith-Rowe more? I never understand why people think that Jorginho is the reason Emile Smith-Rowe doesn't get minutes. They play in completely different positions. Would you trust Emile Smith-Rowe to sit in front of your back four? Would you trust Emile Smith-Rowe to be the one tasked with receiving the ball under pressure, deep in the midfield, and breaking lines? Because I wouldn't. Emile Smith-Rowe is a far more offensive player than Jorginho. The two are not comparable in any way, shape, or form. If Emile Smith-Rowe's not playing, it's because he's not playing better than the players in, you know, Trossard or Martinelli's position, or Martin Odegaard or Declan Rice when he's in the eight. That's why he's not playing. It's nothing to do with Jorginho, and his being at the club honestly makes no difference there. Johnny Wonderling says, I don't understand these people saying that Jorginho doesn't deserve a new contract. He's played well this season, and even if he plays a bit part next season, his experience could be vital. Completely agree. Completely agree. Kaka says, never heard of inheriting a podcast. Lucky kid. Ojadek says, what happened to your podcast with Lee Judges and the old gang? Nothing, mate. Everybody's just so busy. It's just one of those things where it just kind of fell away. There's no issue there. We're all in a WhatsApp chat together and we chat pretty much after every game and still talk to all of them. We're all great friends. It's just that it isn't working out in terms of the schedules at the moment. I don't know where I'm going to be from one day to the next. Lee Judges is always globetrotting. Sophie's over in the States and, you know, Tom has his own routine as well. Dan Potts too. So nothing happened or anything like that. We just all really, really busy. I mean, why do you think I stream at different times every bloody day? I know it must frustrate the life out of you guys, but it's not out of choice. It's just because I'm trying to fit it in and I don't want to miss shows. But as I say, some exciting news coming very, very soon about that. We're going to get back on track. And I promise it will last this time. Yep, I'll fill you in on the details when I can. Look, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you all so much. In conclusion, just to summarize this bonus edition of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast, I'm going to say I think this is a good idea. And I don't think this is a deal that will have any knock-on effect on existing summer plans. So please don't look at it that way. I think this is someone that can give us something. They can help us on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. And that side of it is sometimes difficult to quantify as a fan because we're not on the training ground. We don't understand the dynamics there. We don't understand the relationships between players and the roles that they have, especially senior players in the dressing room of younger players. You look at it and you go, well, you're the senior leader, blah, blah, blah. But I think you need a very certain type of senior leader, someone who is experienced and can be harsh and can dish it out when they need to, but also someone who has that relatability. And I feel like when I see Jorginho with some of those young players, he really, really does have that. Mikel Arteta places a lot of emphasis on team spirit, on relationships, on the whole family feeling of the team. And Jorginho feels like he's right at the heart of that. So it's a good bit of business. It isn't going to cost us an awful lot of money. It isn't going to impact our plans going forward. And he is going to remain a bit part player at Arsenal. But that's okay because he's good enough. He's more than good enough to do that. He could start in most teams. What Chelsea would probably give right now to have him playing in the midfield next to Caicedo instead of Enzo Fernandez, who they paid £100 million plus for. He's a fantastic player. Don't disrespect him. Yeah, he's probably coming towards the twilight of his career, but I think this makes a lot of sense and it's some positive news. I don't suspect we'll get an announcement on this until the end of the season. But obviously, David Ornstein has reported that the contract has been offered to Jorginho and that he is planning to sign it. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Remember,
you're listening to the Chronicles of a Gooner. Like and subscribe.
That's right. You heard the kid. Like and subscribe. And I'll be back very, very soon with more. Until the next one, take care of yourselves. Have a great evening. Goodbye.